the well-documented sound that heralds the coming of the injured. But in this noise, there is hope, for there is no hurry for the dead. The woman lies unconscious, substantial bleeding from twisted limbs, and the driver of the van that hit her sits paralyzed with shock, stunned that anyone could run directly into his path.
Burnt by Nigel Baldwin, with Dennis Waterman as Milky.
Excuse me.
I'm not talking to you.
Hey, hold on. Listen.
And he is faster than her. And before she's got to her car, he has her by the arm.
Let go of me!
Yeah, I will in one second. Now, just listen to me, will you? Beth is back there lying through her teeth. Now, neither of us has mentioned the Welsh office, Martin Rushton, or Sir James Colman. Yeah, you recognise all that, right? We were economical with the truth. We said Rachel insulted Beth because Beth had appeared nude in a film once. I threatened Rachel, she ran away, and I gave chase. Yeah, it's pretty inept, I know, but it's got them off our backs. Now, Rachel was knocked unconscious, and she's broken her hip. All right, all right. You're allowed to be angry, but it isn't our fault. And she isn't going to die.
Just let go of me!
Look, what I'm leading up to in my devious and nasty little way is that somehow, indirectly, Rachel's actions could have something to do with the death of Valmy Thomas. And she knows that, and you know that. If you don't give us an hour of your time, I will go to the police. Come on, Laura.
I may be her sister, but I can't read her mind, and she doesn't tell me everything.
She told you about this, though, didn't she?
Can we go somewhere else?
No. It's noisy and it's inconspicuous, just the way I like it.
Rachel's in deep trouble. If you go to the police...
You tell us about the letter and I guarantee...
You couldn't go to them anyway.
I guarantee we won't. Now shut up, Beth. I'm in deep trouble and I don't like it. Rachel leaked that letter, yeah? And it was a letter from the Secretary of State to Sir James Colburn. Or at least to him as chairman of Element International.
The other way round.
Well, whatever. And now she's hiding up here.
She's not in hiding. No one knows she leaked the letter. Could be any one of a number of people. There's plenty in the Welsh office with motives. He antagonises a lot of people because he doesn't give a damn about Wales. He's just using his office to further his ambition.
Don't they all?
If she's not hiding, what is she doing up here when she works in Cardiff?
She's convalescing. She had a miscarriage.
Oh, sorry. Is her husband with her?
She doesn't have a husband.
Sorry again. I'm old-fashioned, you see. Boyfriend, then.
She doesn't have a boyfriend.
After she was hit, I picked up her bag. The contents were all over the place. There was an invoice from the Well Church Clinic. It's a private hospital. Lots of women go there for abortions.
Stop biting your lip, Laura. We've given you a guarantee. We won't compound Rachel's problems, but Beth's aunt has been murdered, and no one seems too desperately bothered to find out why.
She recognised Beth. Most people who watch television or go to the pictures do. That's why she ran. She knew you must have come here to ask about Valmy.
Don't hedge.
Rushton's not so smart. Before he dropped Rachel, he should have got rid of his private correspondence.
Dropped?
She was his mistress. From a week after he started at the Welsh office. Rachel's been working there since university, where, incidentally, she was known as something of a radical.
So what's she doing climbing into the jockstrap of a cabinet minister?
Rachel's as ambitious as Rushton. That overrides things like politics and patriotism, don't you think? Rushton had been promising to leave his wife and set up home with her, but kept delaying because, well, scandal and political ambitions aren't the best of bedfellows. When Rachel got pregnant, he reneged and tried to persuade her to get rid of it.
Which she did.
Under duress.
How do you mean?
She became hysterical when Rushton backed down. The idea of being the second wife of a cabinet minister rather appealed to her. If he didn't keep his promise, she said she was going to the press. Nice, juicy scandal to screw up his ambitions. Rushton placated her and said he would keep his word, just give him time. Rachel was happier. 2 days later, in the middle of the night, she got a visit from two men.
In a green Mercedes?
What?
No, nothing. Go on.
They threatened all sorts of terrible things. Horrible things. Perverted. Sexual. One of them produced a knife, hinting that he'd cut off... Terminate the pregnancy, they said. We'll pay for it, and we'll make sure you have a nice, well-paid job afterwards. Can you imagine how scared she was?
I can't believe Rushton would do anything
like that. This isn't Rushton, this is Colburn.
What?
Colburn's thugs. Colburn's got Rushton in his pocket, vis-a-vis SBL. Maybe Rushton doesn't even know. Colburn can't have Rushton resigning through a scandal, can he? There's a nuclear power station to be built and Rushton can bring influence to bear.
If she was so scared, if Rachel was so scared, why did she leak the letter?
Rachel may be frightened, but she's pretty gutsy. And once she'd been jilted, she mysteriously reacquired her Republican tendencies. And giving the letter to Valmire rather than direct to the press makes it less likely that they would ever have found out who the source was.
Did Rachel know Valmire?
Not personally, but she knew of her.
And the $64,000 question.
Sorry, what was in the letter?
I told you. She didn't tell me everything. She was too upset about having... about going into hospital.
Well, what did she tell you?
Nothing terribly significant. Just that if that company, that building company, what did you say it was?
SBL Holdings, Makepeace, Element International.
Element International, yes. That if they got the contract for the power station, they would contract out the design and building of the cooling system to a firm called Tennant Gilpin.
Come again?
Tennant Gilpin.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure. She was running round the kitchen the day before her termination with half a bottle of gin inside her, laughing hysterically and shouting, Tennant Gilpin, Tennant Gilpin, TG, TG, and making obscene gestures.
I never thought I'd see the day.
I'm only doing it because Beth asked me.
Natural medley.
What's wrong with your car?
It's ill, and it's not mine.
Well, taxi then.
I'm in a hurry. You trying to get a taxi in less than an hour round here?
You had to hire a car yesterday.
Ooh. Don't miss a trick, do you? Beth's taking it to Cardiff. She's working down there. Here you go.
Are you coming back?
Oh, Pauline, would you miss me?
Beth uninterested, does she?
Would you like me to come back, Pauline?
I don't care. Milky, stupid name. The train's due in 10 minutes.
And I love you too! You little terrorist, you.
And for those passengers wanting breakfast, will you please make your way to the restaurant car now?
If anyone says it's too early...
It is the middle of the night, you know.
And you've been phoning all evening. You haven't been in.
So when are you coming?
Tomorrow morning. But just get that journalistic brain of yours working.
Who did you say?
Tennant Gilpin. Something like that, anyway.
You're saying, in effect, that this letter could have been a straight bribe?
Well, if Rushton is a director of Tennant Gilpin or in any way connected, yeah. And I bet you £1 million he is.
It's a pity we don't have the letter.
Oh, since when have journalists been given to understatement?
Tickets, please.
You what?
Tickets, please, sir.
For a moment there, I thought you were a very tall woman with a very fine chest.
Thank you, sir.
Great sense of humour, British Rail.
London. A taxi. Heavy traffic. A sunny day with hints of spring to come. And the dust and the dirt are pleasing to his senses after a week of country air.
Yeah. Well, bearing in mind I spent 3 days in a police cell. I wonder if they're still following me.
Are you talking to me?
Oh, I've missed this.
What?
A good old London traffic jam. Choking on the fumes in Gower Street. So romantic. And thousands of people. And noise. I couldn't work out for ages what was missing up there. Lack of noise. I couldn't sleep because it was so quiet. And the fact that you can walk all day without seeing another person is terrifying.
City boy.
And the mountains give me the creeps. Tall buildings here, I mean, fine. They don't bother me, they're lifeless. But mountains seem to have a life of their own. Particularly when it gets dark.
Can we ditch the travelogue? I've got to get out in a minute.
Get out? We're not moving. All right then, so?
I did the research this morning. It's not difficult, that sort of stuff.
And?
Do you want the bad news first, or the bad news?
Oh, go on, Ange. Straight between the eyes, I'm a man.
You owe me £1 million.
Why?
Rushton is not on the board of Tennant Gilpin, and as far as I can see, is in no way connected with it.
I was so certain.
This is a list of directors. Not a Rushton to be seen. Not a name beginning with R, in fact.
Well, maybe one of these is a mate of his.
It'll take ages to dig into all those backgrounds. And if it turned out that one of these gentlemen once played golf with Rushton, so what? That's not a crime.
It doesn't add up.
Oh, my. Your deductions are razor sharp.
All right. I haven't had a drink yet. Well, much.
It's hardly jobs for the boys, is it? I mean, why should Colburn write to Rushton about a firm Rushton has got nothing to do with? Maybe Laura Cunningham got the name wrong.
No.
Sad. If he was a director or chairman, then the excrement would hit the fan, as they say. A minister filling his piggy bank by way of a government contract to build a wildly unpopular nuclear power station. Oh, my life is a litany of missed opportunities.
I find it amazing that you can hold political office and be a director of a company that could benefit from you holding that office.
Except in Rushton's case, he's not.
Then what was Val so excited about when she first got in touch with you?
I hadn't the faintest, except it was about Rushton.
He's ambitious, yes?
You know any politicians that aren't?
Fortunately, I don't know many politicians.
He's got the golden pathway at his feet. He's reasonably young, one of the Prime Minister's pets. Could be in that office himself one day if he keeps on the sunny side of the street.
So a sniff of a scandal.
He must be relieved that Rachel Cunningham's off his back, whether he had anything to do with it or not.
Oh, look, this is ridiculous. Come and pay the man. We'll walk.
You've got to keep digging, Ange. There's definitely something here.
I know that. I haven't just left kindergarten. But there's no evidence, and you can't publish without facts. And where do I go and get them, Look, maybe you better go and see Rachel Cunningham again. She's the key.
Oh, she's terrified. She ain't going to talk.
I'll threaten her with the police. The Balmy connection.
I do have some scruples.
Perhaps I should have a go.
Oh, come on.
Where is she?
She's an innocent. And she's just been knocked senseless because I chased her down a street. She's had half her life wrecked already. I mean, do you want to finish the job?
In the pursuit of truth.
Sure, that old chestnut. A good story, you mean?
She was brave enough to pass the letter on to Balmy.
Yeah, so long as she remained anonymous.
You want to tell me where Rachel is? Then I don't see what else you expect me to do.
Angela.
Look, I've got to get some sleep. I'm working through the night tonight. You can ring me if you want.
Oh, sorry to waste your valuable time.
See you around.
Maybe. Never know your luck.
Sharon Dubinsky Associates. One moment. Sharon? Is Central Television about Carl Crossan? Is he back in the country yet?
He's not available. He's in Morocco getting doped up for the eyeballs. Oh, but don't tell them that. And don't disturb me, Michelle. I'm busy.
Well, darling, you've got a book at last.
Oh, come on, Sharon. Don't be facetious. It's all deeply disturbing and has deadly implications.
If it's not conjecture.
Rachel Cunningham isn't conjecture.
Then go to the police.
I can't.
Why?
I'm scared, Sharon. I don't know how deep this goes. If the special branch passed on information to Rushton and then Val gets attacked, why aren't the police interviewing him?
Well, maybe they did. Maybe there's no evidence. He was at the same gala we were at, after all.
He sent someone in. Someone did. To get that letter back. They didn't mean to kill Val. They didn't expect her to be there. Which means that someone who knew her told them she was going to be out. St. David's Day and all that. And according to Hugh, she only left the pub to feed the dog. Bugger me, Hugh.
What?
Just a thought.
So, meanwhile, someone's setting fire to newspaper offices to discredit nationalism.
Well, that is conjecture, but it makes sense.
How wonderful.
But the only evidence is the letter.
Apart from the girl.
Yeah, but we can't figure out what was so damaging about it. Oh, I don't know. Give us a drink, Sharon. I feel hangover coming on.
Okay.
I'm sorry about your car.
Oh, that's all right. It's tax deductible. Now, darling, do you need any more cash to be going on with?
I don't know. I don't know what else to do.
Oh, Milky, it's terribly exciting. You've got to carry on. Think of it all as research.
Michelle, get me some petty cash, will you? About 100 will do.
And how is my client bearing up? The one you profess to be in love with?
What?
The very beautiful Betham Davis.
Oh, she's all right under the circumstances. Her brother's a... Betham Davis? I thought her name was Williams.
Well, that's her married name, darling. Though she actually got divorced some years ago. Married at drama school. Far too young. Anyway, she used Williams as her stage name, and that's how it stayed. What's the matter? You look as though you've seen a ghost.
Sharon, you are a genius.
Oh.
I'll see you later.
Well, Milky. Milky, where the hell are you going?
We could talk in the office, you know. There is rather less frenetic activity.
Well, London Bay's fine. I prefer it down here. I'm getting paranoid, Ange. Maybe your editor's in on the conspiracy, too.
He isn't here. It is 2 o'clock in the morning.
Finished your story?
Uh-huh.
It wasn't about Wales, was it? Rushton, Colburn, or Soldiers of the Red Dragon?
I love London at night. It's so alive.
Was it?
I need facts, Milky. You can't publish without facts. Basic rule of journalism.
Ha ha! You know something's going on.
I haven't got any facts. Valmo was one source, Rachel Cunningham's the other. One's dead and the other won't talk. End of story.
You have now.
Have you been drinking?
Yeah, I've had a drink, yeah. Several, actually. But it doesn't alter the fact, one of those little things you're so keen on, it does not alter the fact that Martin Rushton, Secretary of State of Wales, is married to Anne Carter.
So?
What's that got to do with the price of fish, she asks herself? Anne Nicola Carter. Maiden name.
Still not sure what you're on about.
Read your own research. That list of directors. You assumed they were all men. Even you. A career woman armed with feminist cliches are brainwashed into thinking men run this country. If one of these gentlemen, you said, the chairman, or should I say chairwoman, is A.N. Carter. The company is in Rushton's wife's name. Now write your story.
You don't understand, do you? I can't. So, Rushton's wife is the director of a company, a construction company. So what?
Look, this is not a bunch of holiday homes we're talking about. This is a nuclear power station.
I said, so what? The evidence is the letter. The letter doesn't exist. Without that, all Rachel Cunningham is all just malicious rumours. And even if she does talk, it's only her word against the word of a cabinet minister. There's no evidence there, either. There's no child. It's all just paranoid conjecture of Welsh radicals or nationalists.
What's got into you?
Move out of the way.
I said...
We have to have evidence.
Oh, that's never stopped the press before. I know of cases where the gutter snipes have hounded, say, well, a vicar to suicide for alleged sexual improprieties. Some poor bugger who kills himself because he can't bear the shame. And then the allegations turn out to be false. Or Councillor Colin Roberts in Cheshire, for that matter.
The average Joe on the street may be. But people with real power, and Rushton has real power, who can guarantee the government will back him, if only to protect their own interests. People like that will throw everything at us.
Colwyn and Rushton are buddies. They've been seen together. I've seen them together.
So what?
Whose side are you on? Someone got you since this morning.
Oh, come on.
You were really keen to get this story. Now, someone followed me from Wales to nod, will you?
This isn't a Bogart and Bacall movie.
Here she is, not everybody. Here she is. Another lackey of the establishment. They're all crawling out now like maggots out of rotting wood. I hate your profession.
I'm sorry.
Damn it. Damn it.
Come upstairs and have a coffee.
No, thank you very much. Got a nasty taste in my mouth as it is. I think I'll go to Cardiff.
It's the middle of the night.
I know bars up and waiting.
All political power comes from the barrel of a gun. So, when a peasant holds a gun in his hand, the old myths grow dim, and the prohibitions are one by one forgotten. The rebel's weapon is proof of his humanity, for in the first days of the revolt, you must kill. To shoot down a member of the ruling class is to kill two birds with one stone. To stone an oppressor and the man he oppresses at the same time. There remain a dead man and a free man. A dead man and a free man.
And she fires. Bang. Okay, lunch, pick it up at 2:15, please.
Aren't you eating?
I'm not hungry.
What are you doing in Cardiff anyway?
I had to pick up some leather. You look pretty, Rick.
Too much sleep and not enough beer. Or vice versa, I can't remember. All political power comes from the barrel of a gun, eh? That's a neat hypothesis.
It's not the playwright. It's a quote. Sartre, I think.
Mao.
Don't look at me like that, Hugh. I need to be working right now.
You're shaking.
What do you expect? It's just unbelievably awful. Isn't there anything we can do?
Angela's gone very strange. Either she's scared or for some bizarre reason, she's lost interest.
We have to go to the police.
I'm not getting involved.
Val is dead.
What are you going to tell them?
What we know.
Rachel Cunningham has had her life threatened. It could be you next.
So why are we bothering with all this? Why don't we just pack our bags, go to Disneyland and have a good time?
So you tell the police?
Yeah.
And assuming they do take notice and don't go telling tales out of school to the Secretary of State again... Do we get Colburn and Rushton without evidence? No, we don't. People like that don't get their hands dirty. If anyone gets banged up, to use the cute colloquialism of the old Bill, it's the minions. And the minions are well enough paid to keep their mouths shut. We need irrefutable evidence so that someone like Angie's paper will publish. So the police will have to act.
Like what?
Like a letter.
So we're just going to let Val's killers go free?
It
those monkeys on the hillside who claim to be Milwira Drag haven't had an iota of decency in them. They go to the police, inform them of the fires they did do, and thereby eliminate themselves from the brewery and the newspaper offices. Then the police would have to look somewhere else, wouldn't they?
I have to go back. I'll see you tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
It's Thursday tomorrow, Hugh. I asked not to be called. There's a by-election, remember?
Oh, of course. She'll be canvassing. They want her for a famous movie face.
I said I'd go up.
And the rest of her?
Hugh!
She lives in London, but she's always prepared to come back and help the peasants in the sticks when we need her.
Oh.
What a good it'll do us now. You seen the polls? Shannon's the best candidate we've ever had, and she's been ripped apart.
What are you going to do?
Well, if your little brother will give us a lift back to his village of, however you pronounce it...
Canverine.
Yeah. I'll pick up Sharon's car and drive it back to London.
Will you keep in touch?
If you want, yeah.
Do.
Listen, I'm sorry we never made it, so to speak. Oh, you know what I mean. I'll see you.
Yes. Well. Well, who?
Well, Val.
I didn't mean that, you know, the way it sounded.
She likes you. It's just the wrong time. All political power's in the barrel of a gun, eh?
Or a box of matches.
Is that supposed to be funny?
Yeah, Pauline might laugh.
You've got the wrong idea about Pauline.
Have I? We'll stuff your barrels of guns and boxes of matches. You can stick your revolution up your backside, chummy. Unless it's internal.
Meaning?
You'll find out when you need to find out.
How do you resist oppression if you don't fight back?
Oh, don't tell me you're oppressed, please. I can't bear the suffering peasant number. I overdosed on that years ago.
Not the Welsh, anyone. How do you resist oppression if you don't take up arms?
Don't know. I don't believe in violence.
Pacifist, then, are you?
It's bad karma, mate.
What?
Law of cause and effect.
What is?
I'd be a Buddha by now if I could stay out of the pub long enough. Nam-myoho renge kyo.
What?
Just a little something I say to myself now and again when I'm sober.
What did you go to prison for?
I got busted.
Is that all?
I had £5 of the stuff. And I attempted to castrate the first of about 10 coppers who came through my flat door. I was a radical then. Used to keep all the politicos in my manor happily stoned. 2 years. No, it was all right, though. It was an open prison. 1974. I was only 19.
An entrepreneur, were you?
Yeah, well, let's get a bill and go, shall we?
Get a bill, as well, Chyna.
Sorry?
Ger bil os gwelwch chi'n dda.
Sorry, friend. I don't speak Welsh. Never needed to.
Me neither.
The road from Cardiff to Llanferain is pleasant enough on a pleasant day. The scenery from Machynlleth is spectacular. But when it's grey and you're depressed, there is no joy in a journey of 4 hours. And the two men sit in silence. The radio, a welcome barrier between them.
Crap. Do you want to listen to this?
No, not particularly.
I don't want to hear the establishment's opinions and lies about the forthcoming by-election.
I didn't know Beth was married.
She isn't anymore.
What happened?
They were too young anyway. But when she got this film where she had to do some pretty steamy stuff.
The Calvinist.
Oh, you've seen it too, have you?
Who hasn't?
He got jealous and possessive and left.
No, I can see his point.
Him or her career. And she chose a career. I was at school when the film came out. I never lived it down. All my friends sniggering. Hugh's big sister flashing her pubes and writhing ecstatically on the bed. She was naive then. Still is. I don't remember her telling me she was coming back to canvas.
She got a fella now?
No, she's unattached. Don't worry.
How about you?
I'm unattached too.
Not tempted by Pauline then?
No.
She's carrying a torch for you. Every time you're in the frame, she goes weak at the knees. I bet she lives in hope that you'll come back to her one day. Do you lead her on at all?
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
Mind you, she seems to warm to me. Gave me a lift on her bike yesterday. Yesterday? Whew. Seems like 25 years ago.
It's because Beth likes you and she thinks the world of Beth. All this hating the English is a bit overdone.
Nevertheless, she does burn down houses, doesn't she?
You still think she's Milwira Drake?
Absolutely. The one that doesn't talk. The speak no evil monkey. Her size, her build.
Go to the police, then.
As Ange would say, there's no evidence.
Besides, who am I to spoil her fun? Talking of Anne, she went really weird on me, you know.
She's a journalist. They're all out.
Not far from the village now, as dusk begins to fall, the Englishman feels weary and dozes off as the road winds its way through the huge, gloomy slate tips, funereal and towering above them on either side, the black legacy of industry. Then, as the car breaks into a tight corner, his head is thrown back from resting on his chest, and opening his eyes, he sees 100 yards ahead.
Slow down.
What?
Slow down to a crawl. And excuse me while I disappear under the dashboard for a second.
Well, what is it?
That car parked up ahead on the right.
Yeah?
It's green, right? A green Mercedes.
Yeah.
Who's with it?
Well, hang on, let's get past. Two men, one sitting at the wheel and the other standing outside.
One with glasses, the other with a pockmarked face, right?
As far as I can tell, yes. Is that the car?
Yes. Just pull over around the next corner.
What for?
Just do it, Hugh. Right. Now I think it's time for a bit of sightseeing.
Scrabbling up the back of the slate tip that overlooks the road, enthusiasm compensating for lack of fitness and youth, reaching the top and looking down at the green car 25 feet below.
Come on, come on. So now what? Tweedledum and Tweedledee aren't here to look at the scenery, are they? It's getting too dark. And there ain't nothing else around here.
Meaning?
Oh, what are they doing sitting alone in a stationary car?
I don't know.
Nor do I. But we're going to find out.
Oh, it's starting to rain.
Oh, bloody is and all. The weather in this country.
Oh, don't start.
Well, I always forget to bring my umbrella, don't I? Oh, golden bennet.
For half an hour, they watch below. Two men in a green car, their faces without expression. And the rain gets heavier.
This is ridiculous.
Patience. Persistence. Perseverance not always rewarded. But this time, yes. In the guise of the lights of an oncoming vehicle.
Look.
Who is it?
Well, blow me to Kathmandu.
The Englishman's jaw drops as a figure walks towards the parked car. A figure wearing a leather jacket and the name David and the red dragon on the back.
This is unbelievable.
What was it? All political power is in what? How does that make you feel, eh, Hugh? No wonder. When something's staring you right in the face.
In episode 5 of Burnt by Nigel Baldwin, the teller was Ray Smith, Milky, Dennis Waterman, and Beth, Bethan Jones. Angela was Tara Dominic, Hugh, Richard Elvin, and Sharon, Emma Gregory. Pauline was Elena Jones, and Laura Cunningham, Ree Richards. Original music was by Laurie Scott Baker. Burnt is directed in Wales by Jane Dawnsey.